broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for May 15th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. On your radio, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And boy, do we get a barn burner broadcast for you today. Wow. First, a recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available online at libertyroundtable.com. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.com, and Ron Paul, campaignforliberty.org, and ronpaulinstitute.org. And we talked about honoring Martha Washington on Mother's Day, as George's wife, if you don't know. We talked about strong women versus women of strength as well. Incredible tribute to women on the broadcast yesterday. We talked about Ammon Bundy's lawyer, Morgan Philpott. He had an event. He spoke for a couple of hours and just documented how abusive the federal government, through unconstitutional agencies, have really been, speaking of the Constitution. Hour two, we talked about Senator Rand Paul and the 2018 midterm elections. Rand thinks he has several good guys to bring to the table for the Senate and the House. I pray that he's right. Sam changes his view. The devil is in the details. Utah Medical Marijuana Initiative is a document created by this McConkie firm. And, you know, the plot thickens when it comes to medical marijuana. Now, the Libertas Institute released a rebuttal to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints review of this. The battle gets, you know, more and more and more complicated as we go on. The problem is really when the people are immoral and want to do drugs, nothing good in society happens. When the people want to be immoral and gamble and cheat and steal and fornicate, and I mean, we can go on and on and on. It just doesn't go well for society, folks. Apple made more profit in 3 months than Amazon has generated in its lifetime. That's an interesting comparative. Dick Morris says, forget about Blue Wave in 2018. The red waves are coming. Do you trust the old Clintonite to tell you that Republicans are going to take over? I don't know who's right and who's wrong. Very interesting for the strange commentator that made his living as a Clintonite and then comes back and, well, now he's a conservative commentator. Wow. Net neutrality officially ends on June 11th. And I'm telling you right now, be very careful when it ends, because what they'll do, those who hate Donald Trump, is they'll say, hey, they killed net neutrality. Then these big corporations will go berserk on the internet and they'll be like, see, the non-regulation plan doesn't work. We've got to have 10 times the regulation that we even had before. It's a good idea to end net neutrality, but be careful, because they're going to try to make it backfire, as the swamp is so deep, so abusive, so hostile, so manipulative. On Mother's Day, Donald Trump remembers his mother. That was great news, in my opinion. What a tribute. What a good, in my opinion, stance by the president. Great news. But then the mainstream press mocks him and says, but he didn't talk about Melania. Okay, his poor wife is sick, ladies and gentlemen. She had kidney surgery. She's in the hospital. You know, Donald's just trying to deal with his own internal life. You know that? And, you know, he wants to give tribute to his mother. Can't we just leave him alone and quit attacking on every side? I just think he thinks his wife is sick and he's not talking about her much. And, you know, some people deal with their challenges in life differently. Give the guy a break. He was positive on mothers. I think that's a great, great thing. And that's a recap of yesterday's show. It is available online at libertyroundtable.com. Donate today if you have the heart to help as well. News the networks refuse to use today starts now, and we've got a barn burner bunch of stuff to talk about. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
There's a new survey out, a new poll out, Kurt, and the headline says this. Kevin Daly writes the piece for the Daily Caller, but the headline says, the Supreme Court should rely on living Constitution, new survey shows. And they go into this big article, and the battle is, do we rely on a living Constitution that changes and you kind of apply modern-day discussion and reality to the living document? Does it live and breathe and just kind of change with the times and with societal norms and modern expectations and such like that? And do we look at the Constitution as a living, breathing, changing, modernized document? Or do we look at the intent and the traditions of the founding fathers? Is it an original intent discussion or a living document discussion? And now more Americans are saying that they believe it's a living, breathing entity, Kurt. Do you want to respond to that?
Well, let's see. So respond to the idea that what is a living entity?
Okay, let me just start over. There's a battle in America over the supreme law of the land, the Constitution.
I know that.
And one group says it's a living...
It's been going on for a long time.
Yes, it has, but this hasn't gone on for a long time, what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
So there's a battle between, is the Constitution a living, breathing, modernized document that changes and, you know... Or is it an original intent? You got to look back to the founder's intent to interpret the Constitution. That's been going on forever. You're right. Since the very beginning. However, now they're saying the Supreme Court should rely on a living Constitution, new survey shows. So more Americans are believing that the courts need to define or to relate to the Constitution in a living, breathing way as opposed to original intent way. One is how the American people think of it. Two is how the Supreme Court thinks of it. And then three, more Americans believe in the living, breathing idea. It used to be that more Americans believed in the original intent idea. So there's a big change that is not recent. I mean, that is not a long time in coming. Right. So what do you say?
Well, I say we got to follow the original intent of it. And the fact is, at least in my opinion, most people... they have no idea what the two different things mean simply because they're just not even connected to that stuff.
You're right on that fact. And here's what I would say, Kurt. I would say that the courts must deal with original intent because if you look at too much of a living, breathing document, then the courts end up making law based on this modernistic view. And so the courts need to go back to the original intent to interpret the Constitution. However... there is a slight bit of validity to those who say it's living and breathing in the sense that there is an amendment process. There are ways that we can address constitutional concerns and constitutional discussions, and there are ways we can deal with the dual sovereignty known as America between the states and the federal government. There are ways that we can rein in different branches using the checks and balances. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I believe that the founding fathers expected the Constitution to be slightly changed over time using the principles and the processes provided. And that's something that we need to understand. We need to look at the original intent. And then at any time that we've changed it, we need to say, why have we changed it? Is it justifiably that we've changed it? And then adjust accordingly. And I'll give you an example to that. The original intent says, hey, you must be a property owner and a man to vote. We've now updated that using the amendment process and said, wait a minute now, you don't have to own property. You don't have to be a man to vote. You could be a woman. And so, you know, there has been some changes that have been, followed the process that our founders gave us. And so no one's saying that there should never be any change. But the attitude is, how do you look at it? You look at it as a modern document. Just to be dealt with, it's, hey, that's antiquated. Those founders didn't know what they were talking about a couple hundred years ago. We're going to look at it this way and just kind of ignore the Constitution when you want. If you're not careful, that's what the living and breathing interpretation ends up with. Secondly, you got to be very careful of the checks and balances when we say courts need to look at that, because when do they look to the original intent and say this is the way we interpret the law versus when do we look at a kind of a living Constitution to say, well, you know, that's not what the Congress intended. This law has been on the books forever. Since we have a living, breathing document, we better kind of update it according to our modern desires. Or at some point, you make activist judges at the bench go beyond the interpretation of law and go into almost the creation or dictation of law. And if you're not very careful, those two become a problem. But again, I come back to this idea, Kurt. Unless we have a moral people, doesn't matter how we work on this thing. It's not going to do a whole lot of good. If we're a moral people, then we can agree that there is a portion of, we need to look to the original intent, and there's a portion of a living and breathing document that we got to understand. In other words, when we've used the process our founders gave us to change it, we need to accept those changes as legitimate. If we want to change it outside of the scope or the provisions the founders provided, then we better look very hard at, if we're not careful, we're violating the checks and balances those are the keys that made America great. So there's my take on it, Kurt. Any other comment on it?
Yeah, I think you've covered it well. It's I don't know that, you know, like the key issue for me is if you don't have a moral people, then like you say, all bets are off, basically, and which is something we got to remember all the time.
Yeah, amen to that. All right, now, the reason I bring all this up, Kurt, is because there's a big battle right now about sports betting, and the courts just made a change. And there's several headlines that I'm going to refer to on this, and we'll break it down a little bit at a time. It's a very, very complicated issue. Parts of it I applaud, parts of it I reject, and I'll explain how and why as we unpack this complicated story. One headline says this, Kurt. The Supreme Court clears way for legal sports betting across the country. Did you see this, Kurt?
I didn't see that headline, but I heard talk about it. And, you know, it, at least I just view it as just one more, I guess you could say, drop into the cesspool of, you know.
Yes, I agree with your point.
That kind of stuff.
But we need to be very careful, and that's why this story is so complicated to unpack. There's a lot to like and a lot to dislike about this ruling. And I'll break it down for you in a second, because this is very complicated, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just think it's an easy answer. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The complexities of this story will take us a very long time to unpack, ladies and gentlemen. Headline from USA Today about this says, states are free to gamble, court rules. Now, they say New Jersey won a landmark ruling at the Supreme Court on Monday that could lead many states to legalize betting on college and professional sports. The justices ruled 6-3 to shut down a 25-year-old law that has basically, what do you call it? It has effectively prohibited sports betting outside of Nevada by forcing states to, quote, keep prohibitions on the books. They now say that that is unconstitutional. And now they've set the stage for other states to allow gambling as a source of, quote, government revenue. Justice Samuel Alito, a New Jersey native, wrote the court's opinion in the case. Sotomayor and Ginsburg both dissented. Justice Stephen Breyer dissented partially. And Alito wrote this: Congress can regulate sports gambling directly, but if it elects not to do so, each state can act on its own. Our job is to interpret the law Congress has enacted and decide whether it's consistent with the Constitution. It was a victory for the state's recently departed Governor Chris Christie, who challenged the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, passed by Congress in 1992. They say that they wanted to preserve the nation's most popular professional sports. Now, they say that they've changed this ruling to help the state's ailing racetracks and casinos and all this kind of stuff. Now, this is very, very, very complicated, because I agree with Kurt that I think gambling is a very bad thing for society. And so I'm against more gambling. I'm against lotteries. I'm against all these kinds of things that the government gets involved with to raise cash. Because what they end up doing is preying on the poor. What they end up doing is taking advantage of people's addictive personalities and such, to the point where they destroy families. And if you go study where gambling is allowed, it is an absolutely sickening discovery process to find out what abuses happen to wives and to children and to families and to society when people are, you know, gambling and fueled by alcohol and addictive behaviors. What a tragedy it is. And the government makes money on every societal ill, if you will. Okay? So they say we intend to implore Congress again to enact a core regulatory framework for legalized sports betting, some folks at the NFL are saying. So I'm against gambling 100%. I believe it's horrible for society. And I know some would say, well, Sam, don't you believe in freedom? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that I agree that government should participate in the spoils. So there's several discussions here. Number one, on gambling, I say it's evil and it has horrible repercussions for society. It's a moral hazard, big time. Secondly, for the government, whether it be the state and or the feds, to receive a bunch of cash to partner in the spoils is evil. Now, the idea in the beginning, what they did was they grandfathered Nevada into a special deal. So even though they kind of banned this kind of gambling across the country starting in 92, what they really did was they gave Nevada a special privilege. You know, they pulled the lever in the favor of Nevada at the expense of the rest of the states. Okay. Now, the sports leagues love this federal rule because they want, really, the federal government to take charge of this. And what they want to do is get rid of the federal rule. Then they want Congress to come back and create a framework nationally, because they think it's a nightmare to deal with state after state after state separately on this issue. So the sports league wants it to be nationally done, but they want to get rid of the prohibition, kind of an idea. They say this is a very confusing law. It's time for Congress to move the game and put together a framework. Now, they say states are prepared to customize legalized sports betting for their own purposes without federal interference. They call federal engagement extremely unlikely. So they're saying, look, now the Fed got rid of this. It's a state issue. But the problem is people are calling on Congress to create a framework, but they say Congress probably will not act. They then say the expansion of sports betting is going to be faster than anything we've seen, this one guy predicts. Now, let's talk about this one piece at a time. Like I said, I'm against gambling as a whole. I think the moral hazard to society is disastrous. You can go study the abuse. There's been a lot of Christian organizations that have really studied what happens in a society when gambling is backed by government, promoted by government, where government participates in the spoils. So I reject gambling, and I reject the federal government and or the states getting involved in the spoils of gambling. It's preying on the poor. It's an evil to society without a doubt. However, with that being said, Kurt, let me ask you a couple of questions because we've got to break this thing down constitutionally. Is a federal ban on gambling against the Constitution like the 6-3 decision just said, Kurt?
Is it against the Constitution?
This federal law against gambling, except for Nevada with a special exception, see?
You know, at least when you look at the original intent, as far as I can tell, what you've got is, I don't think there's any talk in the Constitution about gambling. And therefore, basically, everything else would be left up to the states or to the people.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Kurt. So now there's discussions of the original intent versus the living, breathing document, right? And they say that the 10th Amendment reserves to the states and to the people all powers not delegated or specifically granted to the federal government. Alito and six colleagues agree, including all the court's conservatives, as well as Justice Elena Kagan. They say it is as if federal officers were installed in state legislative chambers and were armed with the authority to stop legislators from voting on any offending proposals. A more affront to state sovereignty is not easy to imagine. So there you go, Kurt. The bottom line is these justices are saying it violates the 10th Amendment. You're exactly right. If you look at the original intent, this is unconstitutional. You want me to tell you the biggest unconstitutional piece about it, Kurt?
Okay.
That Nevada had an exception.
Good point.
Since when does the government have the ability to say, out of the 50 states, we're going to give one a special privilege to do something that the rest by law are forbidden to do? Now, a lot of them said, hey, we should use a scalpel and trim the statute. We shouldn't have thrown it all out. There's a lot of debate and a lot of goings-ons about this. But there's one headline, Kurt, that I think captures this better than any other. Justices nullify law that bans sports betting. Justices nullify law that bans sports betting. Now, Kurt, I think they should nullify, because that's correct constitutionally. Now, that doesn't mean I'm for gambling. Don't misunderstand the point. Just because I'm not for something, that doesn't mean that I don't think that we're making a good move. The federal government has no business banning gambling except for one state. They just have no business doing it. It should have been called on the carpet years ago. And I'm glad that they rejected it now. But this nullify concept is fascinating, Kurt. I thought we were told anybody who spoke of nullification was whacked out and didn't have any basis for their view. Now they're admitting blatantly that nullification is legitimate, Kurt. The Supreme Court just did it. They nullified the law that Congress had in place. They said it's unconstitutional according to the original intent, say the conservatives. There's no constitutional delegation of power regarding gambling to the feds. Therefore, it's a state issue. I concur completely, Kurt. I think they're exactly right. See how this is complicated? I'm applauding the decision, although I think gambling is bad for society, right? So that's why we got to pick it apart and kind of explain, break it down a little bit of what we're agreeing with and what we're disagreeing with. I'm disagreeing that gambling is a good thing. I think it's a horrible thing. I'm disagreeing with the states and or the feds getting a piece of that gambling pie and preying on the poor. But I'm applauding this understanding of the original intent of the Constitution, saying Congress has no business giving one state permission where other states are denied. And here's the most important piece of this, Kurt. The biggest reason it was nullified, if you study Samuel Alito's written decision, it talks about this principle of nullification a little further. And I'll explain, and then we'll tie it to a court case we know well. It has to do with Sheriff Richard Mack. We'll do it in seconds and then talk about ways forward and more, but this issue will be huge. Write it down. Sam and Kurt in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So there's a very strange deal. Justices nullify law that bans sports betting, says the headline. And I think sports betting is horrible for society. There's plenty of studies about how evil it is to societal realities. On one hand, I'm against gambling. On the other hand, I'm against the states and the federal government for taking part in gaining cash from the spoils of gambling. But at the same time, I applaud this nullify now idea. The idea really is that states have state sovereignty. And in the Sheriff Richard Mack case, Mack Prince versus United States, where Sheriff Mack beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court over the Brady Bill, the idea was that there was a dual sovereignty, wrote Justice Antonin Scalia back in the day. He said, hey, the federal government does not have the right to force states to become political subdivisions. There's a dual sovereignty here. And state and local officials are not required jurisdictionally to obey the federal government. They're just not. What you got to look at is what power was delegated to the federal government. And if the power was delegated, then the federal government has absolute control. But if that is not delegated, then the federal government has no jurisdictional reality, is the bottom line. And Richard Mack has been running around the country explaining this to people, talking about it's the greatest 10th Amendment decision in modern times, standing for the state's dual sovereignty and right to self-govern. And everybody laughed at Richard Mack and mocked him and said, oh my gosh, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't even know what the law says. He's not an attorney. He doesn't know, blah, blah, blah. And we still advocated for this reality because we knew we were right. Well, now this court case, Kurt, doubles down on that point that Richard Mack made and said, hey, this had the unconstitutional effect of forcing the state legislative bodies to kowtow to the federal government on something the federal government has no jurisdiction or delegation of authority for. Therefore, it's unconstitutional. Shut it down. In that, I applaud, because I think that's right. There is no provision that delegates any authority to the federal government regarding gambling. Therefore, it's a state issue. The justice, or the Supreme Court in this case, the justices, are correct. And this idea of dual sovereignty, where the states do not are not political subdivisions of the feds and can't be mandated to do things, is right. The 10th Amendment applies here. So that's all wonderful news. And the issue is state sovereignty. The issue is state self-determination. The issue is a healthy check and balance between the dual sovereigns, as Scalia put it, the federal and the state. And that they have different jurisdictional responsibilities based on the people's delegating power to the state or to the Fed. And if it's not specifically enumerated to the Fed as a responsibility, it's left to the state and to the people respectively, says the 10th Amendment. This is exactly right. And I don't believe that the Supreme Court should rely on a living constitution. I believe we should look back at the intent of the founders. And when justices nullify law that bans sports betting, I applaud, Kurt. Now, that's the good news. Here's the bad news. Each state is going to move forward to try to capture cash and to participate in the spoils of this gambling. So now you kind of come down to the morality of the people, Kurt. And if the people choose that which is right, that's a blessing. But when the people choose that which is wrong and they're deceived on the issue, we got a whole different matter. I'll give you an example. When you look at lotteries, Utah does not have a lottery at all. I don't know if other states don't, but I know Utah does not. And I know most states do have lotteries of some kind. Are there any other states that don't have a lottery, Kurt? I'd like to kind of research that on the fly real quick. But here's my point. States can self-determine, and I hope states choose not to back gambling, because I believe gambling has all kinds of societal ills associated with it. However, I think it is a state issue, and I really support this issue being a state issue, not because I like the patchwork of confusion that will result, but because I do believe it's a state issue. Now, Congress could act and create a law that made it a federal issue. There's provisions that that could happen. They could create an amendment. They could do all kinds of things that could you know, codify or legitify or make legitimate this idea that it's a federal issue. But so far that hasn't happened, and many are saying they doubt Congress will act. Now, before we get to that, Kurt, to the other points on this that I think are really good news, any thoughts on this?
You know, I'm just trying to figure out what else to add, but it seems to me that the key points are, the states, we need to have it so that the states, have their sovereignty, if you will, and we need to have the federal government only taking care of what the federal government's supposed to do with the Constitution. We hope that states will, there will be at least some that decide to go the high road, to stay out of things.
Yeah, to prove your point, Kurt, there's a few states that do not have a lottery right now. You ready for what they are?
All right.
Alabama, Alaska, Hawaii, Mississippi, Nevada, and Utah.
Wait. Nevada doesn't have a...
No, you want to know why for them?
Sure.
All it would do is interfere with other forms of gambling, and you got the big mafia-ran casinos that don't want that happening, buddy.
Okay.
Okay, the sports leagues wanted a national law against gambling, too, Kurt. You'd say, why would they want that? Because they want it to be federally mandated everywhere, and they want to control it.
Yeah, good point.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most states have a lottery. Today, lotteries are established in 44 states. And I guess the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I guess, let's see here. Yeah. Wyoming was kind of one of the last holdouts, if you will. But now they've got a lottery. can I buy Powerball lottery tickets online? You can buy almost anything online now, including Powerball tickets, they say. But here's the problem. If you buy a Powerball ticket, depending on what state you're from, and you win, you may or may not get the money, Kurt. Right?
Well, I guess if you win, you better move quick to wherever it is you
are. Yeah, I don't know if you can, if you have residency outside or not. You know?
I'm not sure.
But here's why I say this is good news, Kurt. It's bad news that we're going to open up gambling all over the country. But that is really a discussion about the morality of the people. It's good news because it really gives power back to the states. It's good news because it supports the 10th Amendment. It's good news because the justices realize that it takes delegated authority for the federal government to do something. It's good news because the courts are saying the federal government has no jurisdiction to make the states literally political subdivisions of and or forced by the federal government. All those things are a great understanding. That sets the stage, Kurt, for a broader discussion now. Now you could sue over health care, Kurt, and I'll bet you win.
Mm.
Because if you said, hey, look at Richard Mack's case, Antonin Scalia said that there's dual sovereignty here. The states can't be forced to be political subdivisions of the feds. The Fed has no jurisdiction to demand state or local officials do anything. Richard Mack won on that. And now you got this case where the justice is saying, hey, wait a minute. The federal government has no authority to ban gambling. Even though gambling's an ill, it's a bad thing. That doesn't mean the federal government has authority to ban it nationwide. And now we come back and same thing. Do states have the authority for self-determination regarding health care, Kurt? And I think the way Congress wrote the law and the way the former court manipulated it, they played a game and said, well, Congress said it was not a tax, but the court said it was a tax, and because it was a tax, it flies. Well, you could revisit that in this case and probably get a win because we're establishing this reality of dual sovereigns. So even though I don't like what's going to happen out of this ruling, I support the ruling, Kurt, for a broader purpose. And I believe that now it's up to conservatives to really stand up and say, what else can we roll the federal government back on? What other authorities have the federal government been abusing people on, creating special rules and favors and everything else that they have never been delegated authority to? And every one of those things are ripe for a discussion with an idea that the Supreme Court would nullify the law. That should never be in the first place because there's no delegated authority. So just because I'm supporting this for other purposes, that doesn't mean that I agree with the gambling results of this. There's good and bad. And it's a very sticky thing. But to understand the Constitution, to understand we need to go back to original intent, to understand delegated authority and separation of powers and jurisdictional boundaries, including for the federal government, upholding the 10th Amendment, realizing that states have the authority of self-determination. The nullify now concept has been codified into reality. It's going to be pretty hard to argue and say there's no nullification going on. There is at all kinds of levels. The idea that we're not going to grandfather Nevada in and give them special privileges is gone. The debate rages on. But I'm applauding this decision, Kurt, but I stand against gambling. And I don't know how to make this complicated story more clear than I've done. I've done my very best to break it down on what I like and what I don't like, and constitutionally and morally, why. Quick pause. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable, live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, a very complicated issue. Hopefully we've broken it down in a way that makes some sense, Kurt. Any other comments on this one?
Nope.
All right, one last point to make with regards to this is the evils that can arise from this if each state does not take their responsibilities seriously. The state of Utah has been a very moral state for quite some time. Mississippi, some of these other conservative Bible Belt states, and Utah, a very religious state, have done very well at keeping the lottery out of their state, Kurt. And that's really, these six states are the example to follow. They provided a tremendous leadership. Their citizenry and those who they elect have been engaged in making sure that their states don't participate in the spoils of gambling. And I really think that's where we're going to have to make our headway on this, Kurt. Utah could put together a law that says, hey, you can't gamble in the state of Utah. I don't care if you're gambling in a different state virtually over the internet or whatever else. You can't gamble in the state of Utah. And it's really up to residents in these given states to speak up now, Kurt. Any thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And I bring it up because residents, I want people to know where the answers are. Just because this has happened and just because I'm not for the gambling, it doesn't mean it's a lost cause. There are still things we can do, and there's things we ought to do. But I'm not going to overlook just on this idea that I don't want gambling to overlook what the Supreme Court's done. What they've done is right, even though the repercussions could go all wrong if the people let it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complicated, freedom-oriented issue. Now, there are answers, though. And I want to make sure people understand. I want to make sure people understand that it's complicated. Hard to understand, because if you're not careful, you think, well, just because I'm for one thing, it means I'm for all the results or repercussions or for all the outgrowth of something. That's not true. I'm for the 10th Amendment, and I'm for nullify now, and I'm for the federal government not taking action on things they don't have jurisdictional delegated authority for. That doesn't mean I'm for the immoral proposition of gambling, though. Doesn't mean that at all. I'm against it. I think it's bad, and I especially think it's bad for government to participate in the spoils.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, interesting. All right. I guess former Senator Harry Reid, Kurt, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He had a big old surgery and stuff like that. And they say that it went well. And there you go. So what do you want to say to Harry Reid, who's got pancreatic cancer? This is the guy that literally called Richard Mack and his friends, which would include me and you, literal terrorists, Kurt, because we stood with Ammon Bundy.
Well, we certainly try to follow the Prince of Peace and his suggestions, or commandments or recommendations that we pray for our enemies, that kind of thing. We love our enemies. And so, we would try to say that we hope for the best for former Senator Reid.
Yeah, so my response is I could not reject his assertion that we're terrorists. I don't even know how to say this. I couldn't reject it more boldly. He's wrong. It's dishonest. It isn't true. He doesn't even know Richard Mack or me, and his assertions are completely off base. However, our prayers are with him and his family. I wouldn't want this to happen to anybody. And I pray for less pain for the former senator. I pray for peace in his heart. I pray for the doctor's hands that work on him that their hands will be guided by God to, you know, produce the best outcome possible, the least amount of pain, the most amount of comfort and safety and stability. And my prayers are with the suffering family, Kurt, in every way. I wouldn't want this to happen to anybody.
Yeah, good point.
Even our political enemies, Kurt.
Yep.
Or our political foes, whatever you want to call them. So Harry Reid calls us terrorists, and we're praying for his family. Just let that be the record, ladies and gentlemen.
I guess he went had surgery at Johns Hopkins Cancer Center.
Let that not be lost on the fact that most of us couldn't get that kind of care, but that's another topic.
That's right. His doctors caught the problem, they say, early during a routine screening, and his surgeons are confident that the surgery was a success and the prognosis for his recovery is good. That's from a statement from the family. It was disseminated by his former deputy chief of staff. He's now out of surgery in good spirits and resting with his family. Family said his next step will be chemotherapy. He's 78 years old, served 30 years in the Senate before retiring following the eye injury that he had. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, anyway, what a sad tale. Well, the mainstream media is taking a beating, Kurt. And it's even at a theater near us, if you will. I guess the Salt Lake Tribune lays off a third of its newsroom staff, Kurt.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, at least I've never really been much of a fan of the Tribune. Well, I can't really say I ever was. You know, at least I'm really not surprised in that it's the old media, Sam. It's basically newspapers. And, you know, I know that they're working hard in the online avenues or areas, but, you know, you basically had a kind of a monopoly before in the state of Utah. Now, they had some token competition, you know, that kind of thing. But now there's so much more with, you know, the whole Google, Facebook, you know, all that other stuff. And so, you know, that ad revenue has got to be, you know, it's moving away from those things. And that's making it so they move. They say it was a radical restructuring of Utah's largest newspaper. The owner, Paul Huntsman, and cut 34 Salt Lake Tribune employees from a newsroom staff of 90, along with, they say, elimination of key print sections and some well-known writers who were read for generations. I guess he sounded the alarm last Tuesday. Huntsman, who's, by the way, wealthy father, philanthropist, and Tribune champion, John Huntsman Sr., died February 2nd, enacted a drastic reduction in costs at the Tribune. See, I didn't know that the Tribune was owned by the Huntsmans, but I'm not surprised. Let's see. He said these were unexpectedly sharp declines. The reasons for this were unexpectedly sharp declines in print circulation and advertising revenues since he bought the Salt Lake-based publication. He bought it in 2016. So, along with cutting one in every three newsroom employees, the Tribune will eliminate its high-profile Utah news section Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, having already gone dark with its Monday version of the local news page. Remaining pages devoted to news, features, entertainment, business, sports, and puzzles will all contract slightly. They say among those lost to loyal readers is longtime political reporter and columnist Paul Rowley, who voluntarily stepped aside 44 years after beginning his career as a Tribune copy clerk and cub reporter in the paper's Main Street offices. He's seen some
Yeah, he's been around for a bit. Now, our prayers go out to those who lost their jobs here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't really think that the downsizing of news organizations necessarily is a good idea. However, I would kind of ask Mr. What is it, Paul Huntsman in this case? I would ask this guy.
That's correct.
I would ask this guy, though, to really contemplate the news that he covers and the spin, the viewpoint that he takes on the news, or that his organization, his rag, takes on the news. And I'm convinced that Americans are just sick of the mainstream press, liberal bias manipulation. For example, the Tribune would not have been very kind to Ammon Bundy. They would have attacked him at every turn. Lo and behold, Ammon Bundy, when he went to a jury of his peers, they said not guilty. And then it turns out that Ammon Bundy was completely honest in all of his dealings. And the government was out of control, absolutely out of control. Lying and cheating, stealing, destroying evidence, and more. But I guarantee you that the Tribune would have taken the side of the government against Ammon Bundy, telling you how big of a thief and a you know, danger and all these things that Ammon Bundy was. In fact, if you go look at some of their articles, it does that. When the truth is just the opposite. We took Ammon's side because we're not interested in political correctness. We're interested in the truth. And so I would really ask Paul Huntsman and others to really look at their coverage and say, hey, do you want to be anti-Mormon in the state of Utah and push that envelope? Do you want to promote hostilities towards constitutionalists and freedom fighters? And do you want to always take the government's side on everything? Do you always want to take the big education establishment? And, you know, your advertisers, sir, are controlling a lot of what you say. If I speak out against, for example, psychotropic drugs and tie it to the out-of-control abuse of guns, and that the lie of gun control shouldn't take the stage, then pretty soon the Trib will be taking the side of gun control, the side of Big Pharma, and then they'll document me as a kook, out of touch, not realistic, or whatever the case may be. This is an example of what I'm talking about. Are they going to be pro-gambling or against gambling in the Deseret, or I mean the Salt Lake Tribune, for example? And so I'm telling you that maybe they need to really look at what kind of news they're delivering, Kurt, if they want maybe more subscribers to their paper. Maybe that's at the heart of this discussion. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, I agree, Sam. You know, they say this is a little more detail with the story. It says, with fewer numbers, we simply can't be all things to all people or do things the way we used to. But losing a trusted news source, a Pulitzer Prize-winning independent voice in Utah, is absolutely not an option. Those of us who remain will continue to provide the high-quality journalism you've come to expect from the Tribune.
See, and that's where I would disagree.
You know,
a lot of their stuff
never,
is trailer trash stuff, yeah, personally.
Yeah, I just have never seen it that way, and I've never seen them be the... you know, the bastion of liberty and freedom and the promoter of all good things. It was always, you know, basically just going against those things.
Yeah, they've always taken the contrarian view. They've always backed big government and big corporations. They've always backed, you know, kind of the state and whatever. And they've always been against the religious viewpoints and the conservatives and the morality seekers and the truth finders and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's sad you laid off a third of the newsroom. I've given you an answer of how you ought to look at it, though, if you want to bring back those viewers. Find different stories to cover. Do it in a more positive, less contrarian way. Maybe you'll have a little luck, my friends. By the way, gas is at a national average of $2.87 a gallon. That's up 53 cents from just a year ago, according to AAA. Wow. All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. You are listening to LibertyRoundtable.com, syndicated by LibertyNewsRadio.com. Get on online, spread the word, donate to the Widow's Mite Radio Network today. We could use your financial help to grow our presence in the media. Thanks so much for being alongside for the ride. We declare this nation shall endure.